Hello, and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message given on Sunday morning, August the 25th, by Lee Younger from Romans chapter 1.
I have a question that I think, it's kind of a two-part question. I think it's going to require a little bit of courage to answer. So I just want to go ahead and get that out of the way, which means that if you go ahead and answer it, then everybody knows how courageous you are. The first part's easy. Here's the first part. Does anybody right now in here have one of those funky relationships that's just causing you some distress? Yes. Like, it's like, I just don't want this here. I want these relationships to be peaceful. I want there to be love in the air, like the old 70s song. And I don't want this funkiness and just the crappiness that we have in between each other right now. I'm not going to try to solve all that in this time, just so you know. Thing number one. But there is a second part to that question, which is, how many of you and this is the part I think takes a little more courage. How many of you, in the midst of those funky relationships that are causing you distress, have, how do we put this? You have a feeling about that person that's like, ugh. Like, I don't know a better way to put that than just like, come on. Like, you feel like towards them, like you would say statements like, really? Are you kidding me? Like, what gives you the, like, maybe they've hurt you or offended you or something like that. And your question is, what kind of a person would, you know, and then fill in the blank. Does anybody have that attached to the funky attitude or the funky relationship? There's a little bit less. Cheryl's helping me out. A little bit less. I told you, it's going to take a little more courage on the second piece. Everybody's got funky relationships right now, surely. And then those of us who have the guts to admit it probably have some bad attitudes about the people that we're in those relationships with. Yes. And we have that feeling. Thank you. We just have that feeling. We look at that thing that they did to us or said to us, and we're like, so really? That's the piece I want to deal with this morning, is not this relationship that we may or may not be able to fix this morning, but the way that I see that person. I want to talk about one little word that's all over the New Testament. Jesus talked about it in his very first sermon. Paul talks about it all the time in all the books that he wrote. It's one of our most basic words as Christians. In fact, little time out, for the next few weeks in here, I want to talk about some of our basic vocabulary. Just the words that we use and say and sing a lot as Christians, and just say, like, do we really know what these words mean? Do we have a good understanding of what this is and how it could impact us, just our walk and everything? So I want to look at one word today, and that word is the word gospel. The word gospel is maybe our most basic thing. Like, we are a people of a message, right? That's our thing. That's our gift to the world, is we have a message. And our message is the gospel. The word gospel just means good news. And you guys all know this because you all went to VBS and all that kind of stuff. But good news, that's what it is. It means good news. I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to dive in here. This is from Romans chapter 1. Real familiar stuff. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, he says, and then to the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he said. It's the power of God that brings salvation to anyone who believes, everyone who believes. He tells us a couple of things about our gospel, our good news. One, it's powerful. It's powerful to save, to change. It's powerful to change and save the world. And he said, and it's available. It's for everybody. Anybody that wants good news, you can have it. So what is our good news? The tough thing about doing something like this is everybody's like, duh, I know. We all know what the gospel is. I know. Just entertain me just for a second. We're just going to make sure everybody's on the same plane as we move forward talking about this. The reason I love talking about this particular word is because we, as believers in Jesus, we are news people. We're not list people. Do you guys know what I mean by this distinction? Like, every other religion in the world, and even outside of religions, like just kind of any life philosophy, whether it's, you know, like keto or, you know, whatever people are on these days, it's like a list of things that you're supposed to do. If you do this, then you'll be happy. If you keep these rules, then you'll, I don't know, have enlightenment or a six pack or something. Like, whatever the thing is, everybody else is on a list. Do these things and then you'll be this. You'll qualify or you'll be good enough or whatever, right? Everybody's on the list except us. We're not list people, we're news people. This is not something you need to do. No, I'm telling you something that's been done for you. You don't have to do anything. Somebody else did something. I'm just making you aware of it. That's already good news, right? If you tell me I don't have to do something, I'm like, you've already bent my ear. That's great. The less I have to do, the more I'm interested. That sounds awesome. The problem with list keeping is that it has that awful cycle, right? Of like, I try to keep the, I think I got an amen just right there. I don't know. The problem with the list keeping is you try to keep the list and then you fail. And then in order for no one to know that, then you fake, right? That's the cycle of the list people. So whether it's another religion or whether it's, you know, the Atkins diet or whatever the thing is, I try, I fail, I fake, rinse and repeat. That's what we do. But that's what's so great about believing in Jesus. Somebody else did something. It's not do this. It's extra, extra, read all about it. It's a news flash. Here's what's happened. God himself has become a human being who lived a perfect life. And then he sacrificed himself to pay for everybody else's mess, including mine, including yours, so that substitutionary, like he stood in your place, took all of your wrong and paid for it so that you get to be completely forgiven for free. Thank you. That is exactly what needs to happen when you say those things out loud. Here's the way this works. Okay. To put it in the most simple terms, our good news is, because of Jesus and what he's done on the cross, all is forgiven. You don't have to pay. You can come home. Come on. That's good news. All is forgiven. You don't have to pay. You can come home. And you're like, thank you. It's like, wait, wow, this is such amazing news. The question is, why are we talking about it? We all know this. The reason I think that we have to deal with this word again is because the only thing that could get in the way of the good news is this thing that creeps in that I'm going to call the better news. The only thing that could make good news bad news is this little idea called the better news. The better news goes like this. I look in the mirror and I think I'm doing okay. I think I'm keeping it together. I look at my life and I'm like, I think I'm all right. I mean, I guess technically, theoretically, I'm a sinner in some, you know, technicalities. But I look at my life and I'm like, not a lot of whoppers, you know, like I'm doing okay, especially when I compare myself to him, I'm doing pretty good. That's better news. That feels great. It's like, I don't even need good news because I'm actually doing okay. I think I'm making it. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Like down in your heart somewhere, do you ever convince yourself that like, maybe I'm almost there? Maybe I'm doing pretty dang good, especially when I look at the just complete tire fire of that family over there, you know? And that feels good. It feels good to think I'm okay and they're an out and out disaster. The better news is the only thing that could dampen the good news. This idea that I'm making it. Here's the really dangerous thing about letting yourself start to believe the better news is everybody has to do the better news now. Now the good news isn't available to anybody. Because if I think I'm doing okay, I probably think I'm okay compared to somebody else, which means I've put them on a list now. I'm on a list and I think I'm keeping it, and so is everybody else, and I think they're failing it. I hope that I'm not the only person to whom this sounds familiar. This is what we do. And it gets us on that cycle of try and fail and fake. And I think the way that you can see that the most is you can ask yourself two questions. One, is there anything about me that I'm hiding? Is there anyone I won't forgive? These are the questions. Is there anything about me I'm hiding? And is there anything I won't forgive? Because if I think that I'm doing okay on the better news, then I think everybody has to live up to it. And I'm looking around and thinking, they're not, and I think I kind of am. And so when somebody does something that offends me or hurts me, you know what I feel? I feel, how dare they? How dare they? What is wrong with you? I've caught myself saying that before, and I'm like, whew, that sounds pretty gross. I remember when one of my parents said that to me, and I was like, I'll never say that to my kids. It's like, whoa, oops. That's an awful moment when you find a phrase like that coming out of your face hole. You know, it's like, what's wrong with you? The only way that you could say that with a straight face is if you think you're really something, and they're not. When the good news makes sense of everybody's sin, right? The thing about the good news of the gospel is, it's not that sin is good. It's not that sin is not a problem or something that we don't want to change. It's bad, and we want to grow. But when somebody offends me or somebody is awful to me or somebody does something terrible, it makes sense. It makes sense. It makes perfect sense, right? Because we're the people that Jesus needed to come and die for. The good news of Jesus is that he came and he died for us because we needed him to. And so when somebody acts like an absolute idiot, even if they pointed at me, I may not like it. We may need to have a conversation, but it makes sense, right? Yeah. Is there anything that I'm hiding? And is there anybody I won't forgive? If either one of those things is true, then I think the danger we're in is that we have somehow, in the midst of the beautiful good news, we've let the better news slip in. The idea that I'm doing okay and that I'm making it. And the better news sounds really, really great right up until the point that you remember who you actually are. And you remember, I need the blood of Jesus. Amen? I need Jesus to save me. I need forgiveness. And I'm not better than anybody else. And thank God he came. He came and he paid and he bled. And because of that, I get to be forgiven. The more I know and love that message, the easier it is for me to be who I am, not fake anything, and forgive anybody that hurts me. If we want to make sure that we're on the good news of the gospel, we need to make sure that it's exactly what Paul said in Romans chapter 1. We need to make sure that the gospel is powerful, powerful to save and change, powerful to change my day. And I need to make sure it's available. It's for everyone. We're not on the better news. We're not list people. We're newsflash people. Something has happened. I don't have to do something. Something was done for me. If you want to make sure that you're on that and not the other thing, let me suggest two real quick things and then I'm going to be done. This week, admit something to somebody. That doesn't sound very fun. I should have said at the beginning, I'm going to give you two things. Neither of them are very fun. Thing number one, admit something to someone. I'm not saying just anybody, but somebody you trust, somebody you know who loves you. Admit something. Don't just tell them, like, I'm having a hard time. No, admit something, something you need the blood of Jesus about. Be real. Open yourself up. That is going to be a way for you to practically keep yourself right there square in the tracks of the good news. And the second thing I would say is, and this one's even harder, forgive somebody who hurt you. Just let it go. Just forgive them. You may need to have a conversation about how they hurt you if you're going to be friends. But forgive this week. Let's admit something. Let's forgive something. We're going to keep the good news powerful. We're going to keep it available. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for paying for us. Thank you for coming. Thank you for substituting yourself. Thank you for this unbelievable good news that all is forgiven and I don't have to pay and I get to come home for free. Would you keep me from the alluring ridiculousness of the better news, the idea that I'm doing okay, that I'm almost there. I need you every day, and I need to be real, and I need to forgive. Keep us in the tracks of the beautiful gospel. We love you and thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. More grace.
His multiplied peace. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary, no, not to men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength is failed and the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving is only begun. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary, known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. His grace has no measure, His power.